service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, I'm here in the American Network, and our guest this morning is John Loftus. And John has an amazing story. It was during the late 1970s, early 1980s, he worked for the Justice Department in a division that was concerned about tracking down the people of the Nazi war criminals. And, of course, I'm going to let him tell the story of what happened in Belarus. Now, many people have never heard this story. And, of course, there are many people who question the story of the Holocaust. Well, were there really 6 million Jews killed, in Germany? No, Jews were not killed in Germany. They were killed in the occupied areas. And John had a clearance from the Justice Department that was three levels above top secret. He had the opportunity to go through those archives that they have there in Virginia. It's certainly immortalized in the Indiana Jones, I think, the first of their stories about the lost Ark of the Covenant, which was buried someplace in one of those archives, never to be seen again. And most of the equipment there is never seen by anybody, but John had the opportunity to see it. His book, America's Nazi Secret, has information that's been suppressed for many years, because the last thing they, and I'm talking now about what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, they want is for the American people to learn the truth about the Holocaust, about what happened during World War II. About what happened to many of the most vicious of the Nazi war criminals. John, thanks very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Yeah, it was kind of an amazing experience for young men back in those days. Out in Suitland, Maryland, for example, there were 20 underground vaults. Each vault is 1 acre in size. That's where America buries its secrets. And these underground vaults, you know, I really learned that one-third of modern history is classified. So many things that were just a shock. And the government censored them out of my books for the last 30 years. But, you know, you live long enough, and you win. I received a letter from CIA saying that I no longer had to submit my books for censorship. So I wrote this book, America's Nazi Secret, and rushed it into print before they could change their minds. I took the book that I'd written 30 years ago, The Belarus Secret, and sandwiched it in between a very lengthy introduction and a lengthy epilogue so that people could see exactly what had been censored out and why. Because they'll know it's true because the U.S. government censored it. They wouldn't let it be published. And some of this stuff was pretty sensitive. I mean, some of America's finest families funded Hitler and Stalin at the same time. There was incredible corruption within the U.S. State Department and Justice Department. They were bringing in Nazi war criminals, flatly disobeying orders from President Truman, because they thought that President Dewey was going to win, and they wanted to butter up Dewey's campaign manager, Alan Dulles. And Dulles, of course, was the corporate lawyer who helped all the Americans invest in Nazi Germany in the first place. So it was.
Now you're talking about now before the war.
And before the war, yeah. In the 1920s and 1930s.
And I think it's so important that people understand that it was American corporations in Nazi Germany that played a large part in building the weapons that were used to kill Americans.
Oh, yeah, 70% of the money that went to rearm the Third Reich came out of these corrupt Wall Street. They call them the robber barons, very apt name. And, of course, they had to sabotage the Nuremberg trials to make sure this didn't come out. President Roosevelt wanted the German bankers' trial to expose the American corporations that funded them. And, when Roosevelt died, he hadn't told his vice president, Harry Truman, about either the atomic bomb or the political bomb. But Roosevelt wanted to indict, the big Wall Street funding arm of the Republican Party for treason. And would have, too. They were really, really guilty. Now, they continued to aid the enemy with economic support during time of war. And that is the constitutional definition of treason. So, both Republicans and Democrats were involved, I'm afraid to say. But
one of the things you bring out in your book is that there were a number of Americans who headed these American corporations in Germany before the Second World War, who continued working all during the war, building the weapons for Hitler's Germany. Would you tell that story?
Sure. There were more than 100 American corporate businessmen. They call them the striped pants set, representing Chase, Manhattan Bank, and the major Wall Street corporations that put the money in the Third Reich. And their job was to stay in Nazi Germany all during the war and protect the American investments. Now, of course, they were supposed to be tried at Nuremberg. But when Roosevelt died, Dulles volunteered to become America's new intelligence chief in post-war Germany. So he had all the American traitors hidden over in the British zone in a special camp called Ashcan Dustbin. And then he had the Justice Department essentially pardon all these guys and send them home without a trial. So my first boss, who was actually at Nuremberg as one of the prosecutors in the bankers' trial, never knew where the witnesses disappeared, never knew what happened to them. And the Justice Department had covered it up. So justice and state worked hand in hand to conceal this awful seam of multinational corporate corruption that funded both Hitler, Stalin, and then even Saud. Islamic extremists were funded by American corporations, and this is where it gets really nasty, because we funded a group of Egyptian Nazis that became the leader of the Arab Nazi movement, the Muslim Brotherhood. And this is very controversial because the Muslim Brotherhood is now threatening to become the leading opposition party or now the leading political party in Egypt, and has the backing of the New York Times, is a modern secular organization. And it's all nonsense. The Muslim Brotherhood was, in fact, a Nazi terrorist group. During the 30s and 40s, they worked for the Third Reich's intelligence service. They were signed German officers. They published enormous propaganda against the Jews, America, democracy, Christians, Western culture, you name it. And Hitler loved the Arab Nazis, and they loved him. In heaven, Allah, on earth, Hitler was their motto.
We'll be back in just a moment with John Loftus. This is so important today, as it moves, all of the Muslim world is going to fall under the Muslim Brotherhood. We'll be right back.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. U.S. cash flows reminds listeners, the results of child abuse are devastating. Each year, millions of children are subject to it. Many die. For the survivors, the pain inflicted on them influences their lives. If you or anyone you know needs help, call your local child abuse hotline. This message is from U.S. Cash Flows. For more information, call 484-6523. That's 484-6523. They're on the air reminding us all it should never hurt to be a child. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Elizabeth Lockerplant reminds us that nothing ruins a holiday celebration like a friend or loved one who gets into an accident after a party. During this special time of year, let's make an early resolution not to let a loved one drive if they've had a bit too much of the holiday spirit. That's from Elizabeth Lockerplant, located at 366 Grant Street in Elizabeth, specializing in neutralizing aged beef and pork and complete custom processing. For highest quality, call 688-2240. That's 688-2240. They've been serving our area since 1943. They're on the air because they care.
Well, Dr. Stan and our guest this morning, John Loftus, who, when he worked for the Justice Department, had a security clearance three levels above top secret. His job, track down the Nazi war criminals. And he tracked them down, and he found them living in New Jersey, and, of course, where they lived out their lives comfortably. There's a Sydney Cemetery there, where many of the Nazi war criminals are buried. They were well rewarded for their work. But before we went to the break, John was talking about something so vitally important, and that is the Muslim Brotherhood, an organization closely aligned with the Nazi movement, financed by American intelligence agencies. It's of historical significance. Perhaps it's even of more than historical significance, because today, the Muslim Brotherhood is the only really organized force in Egypt and throughout the Muslim world, financed still, as far as I'm concerned, by the intelligence agencies. We know that Lord James, a member of the House of Lords, testified in the 4th of November of last year that he had funneled billions of pounds to the terrorists in North Africa. Not a word, of course, in the controlled media in America, but Google and the start page have pulled the article down. But we have it. We'll be glad to send it to anyone who wants to read it. Billions of pounds to the terrorists in North Africa. And, of course, that would be this whole radical Islamic movement that is now taken over, and the process of taking over the Muslim world. The man, his name is Lord James. The article was found in the Belfast Telegraph. You can find it on the Internet, in Yahoo, by typing into your search engine, Lord James, Belfast Telegraph, funding terrorists. Read it, and weep. John, what do you think about the concept that the Muslim Brotherhood, of course, threatens to take over the whole Islamic world? Isn't that sort of a frightening thing to contemplate?
Yes, but I don't take it seriously, because the Muslim Brotherhood is so unpopular that they're kind of despised in the Muslim world. You see, the Muslim Brotherhood, like the Saudis, believes in an Islamic heresy called Salafism, or right, Wahhabism, as it's called in Saudi Arabia, and that's a heresy, a cult against Islam. And, you know, this cult has been denounced by Islamic scholars more than 60 times before 1900. So in most countries, even Pakistan, Afghanistan, extremist groups, you know, they'll get at most 20% of the vote. And that's about what the Muslim Brotherhood would get. It is true that at one time they did have 20% of the seats in Parliament, but in the last primary election, the number of seats dropped from 88 to zero. So they're not that popular a group. I think that the Muslim Brotherhood was more useful to the oil companies and to the Arab dictators as a boogeyman. Mubarak let the Muslim Brotherhood be the only legal licensed opposition party, because he knew that the people of Egypt hated them. Mubarak would air a documentary series during Ramadan when everybody was at home watching TV about the Muslim Brotherhood and how many Egyptian leaders they had assassinated over the years and how much cruelty and damage they had done. But the sad thing is, there are a lot of American corporations that really were covering up the Muslim Brotherhood. The last one to really be involved was Vice President Bush. And he took the Muslim Brotherhood out of storage and took the old World War II Nazis, and in the 1980s had them recruit a new generation of extremists as Mujahideen in Afghanistan. And these Islamic freedom fighters successfully drove the Soviets out of Afghanistan. But then we had this huge army, and they're not Islamo-fascist. That's an insult against Islam, to link Islam with fascism. They were simply the second generation of the original Arab fascist party. And Osama bin Laden, for example, was actually trained by the Nazis of the Muslim Brotherhood. The brother of the chief Nazi propagandist was his tutor. Dr. al-Zawahiri, the CEO of the al-Qaeda, also had the same experience. They were trained in their youth by Nazis who espoused the same religious cult, Salafism, as the Saudis did. Now, a lot of Americans don't get this. There was an embarrassing moment last week where General Clapper, a big guy in U.S. intelligence, testified before Congress that the Muslim Brotherhood were, sort of moderates. A lot of them believed in democracy, and it was a secular party. Well, a lot of us just about fell out of our chairs. The Muslim Brotherhood is a theocratic movement. It is religiously opposed to democracy. It is a sin for anyone to believe in the notion that they are free to vote for their own leaders, because Allah has decreed that leaders should be picked by the clergy. So poor General Clapper had to immediately apologize and save face for his blunder. But to this day, the New York Times is an apologist for the Muslim Brotherhood. And a lot of folks wonder, my God, what's going on? Why would anyone, support the original Arab Nazi movement that is the parent organization for almost every Sunni terrorist group in the world? And the answer is kind of sad. The man who brought the Muslim Brotherhood to America during the Eisenhower administration was a guy by the name of Frank Wisner. He was Alan Dulles' assistant. Dulles became
head
of the CIA. But Frank Wisner was in charge of a super secret group that the CIA didn't know about. He was the man who hired Nazis. And it was his son, Frank Wisner Jr., that poor President Obama said, okay, listen, you've known President Mubarak. You were our ambassador over there for years under Reagan and Bush. And you've got to go over and tell him two things, that it's time for him to step down and that he's got to replace the government. Well, Wisner talked to his friends at the State Department. They decided to commit a mutiny. Right? President Obama was telling the Israelis, we don't negotiate with the Muslim Brotherhood, and we're privately telling Mubarak that he has to go. Wisner went and had a private meeting with Mubarak. And after that meeting, Mubarak, A, negotiated with the Muslim Brotherhood, and B, said that he would not step down. And a couple of days later, Wisner appeared in a video conference at a security meeting in Munich and said that Mubarak should not be forced to step down right away because he was utterly critical to the stability of the government needed to make this wonderful transition to democracy. Now, Obama was furious. This is exactly the opposite of what he had told Wisner to do. And his own State Department had committed mutiny. Hillary Clinton got caught up in this. Now, she didn't realize that the line that she was following was the old boys' line and not the White House line. So she was greatly embarrassed, and she immediately turned around and publicly criticized Frank Wisner Jr. The New York Times never reported that a mutiny had taken place. they blame the White House. And the New York Times is seeking to rehabilitate the reputation of Frank Wisner Jr. and the Muslim Brotherhood. So it's this. My book, America's Nazi Secret, isn't about the old days and about Nazis. It's how we come to make the same mistakes today. So I wrote an article last week on the mutiny that wasn't reported in Army magazine in New York. The British press are going, wow, they can't imagine why the American press hasn't reported Wisner's mutiny.
Now, where did you write the article again?
Oh, it's AMI, A-M-I magazine, a new magazine in New York City. So I write a weekly column for them now.
All right, fine. Is it up on the Internet?
Not yet. They're supposed to. It's a new magazine. They're supposed to get their Internet site up soon. Actually, I'm going to collect all of these columns and publish them in a book next year.
Right,
I think a lot
fine.
Of things that happen, Americans don't have a clue what's going on. Poor President Obama didn't know that his own State Department had committed mutiny on him.
Well, the problem is that the American public doesn't understand the past. And the,
no.
Those who
and
do not
the funny thing
the past,
is, I think that WikiLeaks has done some good. At first, I to be honest, I hated WikiLeaks. I thought it was a breach of trust. But, you know, as these, now that the cables are out, people are saying that by and large, most of the American government, most of the State Department tries to do the right thing. And we try and support people who want to remove the dictators. There is, in fact, a tiny minority inside the State Department and inside the Justice Department and other agencies that have sold us out, that they work for multinational corporations. And I think that people have to realize that, you know, when you have a multinational corporation like Exxon, for example, they're not looking out for the national interest. They're looking out for the multinational profit line. That Exxon is only interested in jacking up the price of oil as high as they can. So high, it's crippling the American economy. But they've made record profits in their history, so they're happy. So Exxon is not our friend. They are our enemy. They are much more hostile to the United States and have done more damage to the United States than any of our, you know, official foreign enemies during the last two or three decades.
And I fear they're going to get the price up again, and it's going to cripple our economy again. And I think we're in for some very bad times because of the rising price of oil. But right now,
you know what? Sometimes they may have cut their own throat. You know, the price of oil gets up too high, then a lot of people start looking for alternative energy. Several years ago, a group of us from the intelligence community decided that, you know, one of our group was Clinton's head of CIA. He said, the only way we're going to win the war on terror is if we stop importing Arab oil. Because the Arabs take all their oil profits and they fund terrorism. If we want to stop, we've got to stop buying Arab oil. So that means we have to find alternatives. So a group of us, after the collapse of communism in Russia, we hired all these world-class scientists in the new country of Georgia, which had been part of the old Soviet Union. And, you know, they thought $400 a month was a real decent salary. So we hired a bunch of these superb scientists and put them on pure research, and we think we've hit a home run. And we're in the final stages of work on the holy grail of alternative energy. It's called the indium gallium nitride solar cell. A solar cell made of indium gallium, or InGaN. An InGaN solar cell is five times more powerful than anything that's ever been made. But it's very difficult to make. Well, we've gone through this new process where we can melt metals without using heat, something Einstein predicted and that we were able to achieve. So once we go into mass production of this, which could probably be within a year or two, the price of oil will drop and continue to drop.
Well, now, will this be used to generate electricity or what?
Yeah. In other words, you could have your home would have solar shingles that would produce more than enough electricity for all your household needs, and then you'd sell the excess electricity back through the grid for industrial use. So this would produce electricity at about 2 cents a kilowatt hour. Right now you're paying probably 10, 15 cents a kilowatt hour for electricity. At 2 cents a kilowatt hour, everybody switches to electric cars. Because then you don't have to buy gas. It's free. And that means the end of importing Arab oil. I think within the decade that we're going to see this major transformation. Now, the trick is we're doing all this research with private funds. So we can't afford to go public because the Saudis or Exxon or somebody might buy up the company and squelch the technology. So we do need a few angels. If somebody wants to, you know, invest in this, we're looking for a few, you know, the right kind of investors. We don't want any Arabs involved, no offense, but we simply cannot allow this technology to go forward outside of our control. But I think it's a major step forward. So I'm donating a lot of my time just helping this company get going.
Well, I think that's exciting. Right now, let's get back to the what happened in Belarus and Sudan.
Oh, yeah. It's people don't realize that the Holocaust isn't something that just happened to Jews. Catholic priests, Protestant ministers, nuns, school teachers, doctors, they all were marked for death in the Holocaust.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. John Loft is here. Eric, done.
When you need a dynamic energy boost and you require that energy to last you for the long term, all you have to do is take a Warhead capsule and a drink of water. In moments, you'll feel a dramatic performance elevating effects of Warhead's amazing blend of herbs, vitamins, minerals, and pharmaceutical compounds rush throughout your body. You really have to try it to believe it. Whether you need to wake up in the morning or stay awake at night, work hard at physical labor, or work out as an athlete, Warhead will give you the vitality, alertness, and power that you need to be the very best that you can be. Why does Warhead work better? Because it is such an advanced complex of the highest quality ingredients, all carefully balanced to give you what you need, longer-lasting energy for superior physical and mental performance. Warhead is all-natural and all-legal. Keep a bottle of Warhead handy. You can never know when you need an explosion of raw energy. Remember the name Warhead. You'll be glad you did. For your bottle of Warhead, come to the Green Herb in Wheat Ridge, Colorado. Visit our website at nextlevelformulations.com or call 1-800-910-0200.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
TRI Property Management in Greeley reminds listeners the men and women of our military dedicate themselves to serving our country. Their commitment, patriotism, sacrifice, and courage keep our country safe and strong. Let us honor those who have lost their lives in the line of duty and salute those who serve today. A smile and a handshake or even sending a care package overseas is the least we can do for those who have done so much for us. This reminder from TRI Property Management in Greeley. Call 352-1025.
Well, Dr. Dan here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, John Loftiston, and we were talking about Belarus, and most people don't even know where it is, but it's a section of Russia. It was occupied by the Nazis, and John, of course, this is during the Second World War. John, you picked the story up there.
Well, the Nazis came pouring in through Belarus because it's the land between two rivers in Eastern Europe. It's the only land route to invade Russia. It's been the traditional invasion route for Napoleon and everyone else. Now, it's also part of a 70-mile-wide strip of settlement called the Pale of Settlement, where the Russian czars had allowed Jews to live for 300 years, just a narrow strip of land. But some of the cities and towns in this area were 90% Jewish. Now, the Nazis told their local collaborators, the SS appointed them to become, you know, mayors and police chiefs, to get rid of the Jews. And the first thing they did, the very first experiments in the Holocaust, where they tried to dig ditches on either side of the highway, a road leading to the airport, and the Jews were taken out in groups of 100, forced to take off their clothes and lie in the ditches at gunpoint and forced to lie on top of each other head to toe. Then the police would shoot through a double layer of bodies, a layer of dirt, and so on. They called it the sardine method of execution. The worst part wasn't even discovered until after the war, when American Red Cross doctors were conducting autopsies on the graves. They could find no evidence of wounds upon the smallest victims. Apparently, to save the price of a bullet, the Belarusians ordered that the babies be buried alive. Now, these atrocities were so horrific, they actually nauseated the German soldiers that witnessed them. And the Germans began writing complaint letters back to Berlin about these horrible things that the Belarusian Nazis were doing. And so Eichmann noted in his diary that he would have to try some experiments with poison gas as a more humane method of killing the Jews. So at first, Eichmann sent in black panel trucks, Black Ravens, they were nicknamed, and he had the exhaust pipes rigged to flood the truck compartment with exhaust gas. And this really didn't poison people so much as asphyxiate them slowly. And it was a very, very nasty way of execution. So then he thought he would try maybe a factory with poison gas. And the Wall Street crowd had built an industrial park in the Polish town of Auschwitz. They called it Oswiecim, and the Germans called it Auschwitz. And it would also be a really good place for a major killing site for killing Jews. So one of the American-funded companies, I.G. Farben, who was John Foster Dulles, was on their board of directors, had invented an insecticide that was also very good at killing people. And it was a nerve gas. So Auschwitz had the only pressurized gas chambers in the world, because this was where they tested all of the different poison gases. The testing official was the camp doctor named Mengele, and he would actually look through the glass while the gas executions were going on and record how long it took for gases for each victim to take effect. And then he would collect the eyeballs from the victims, and you know, one survivor wrote that he had them pinned to the wall of his office like butterflies, because the optic nerve was the way to measure the effects of this poison gas. And for nearly a half century afterwards, both the Russian and German armies used this same formula of poison gas for our nerve gas, because it was the only one that had ever been tested on human beings. But, yeah, Belarus was a really significant place. It was where the Holocaust began, and where the atrocities were so extreme that they even nauseated the Nazis and had them set up Auschwitz as a more humane alternative, a more humane way of killing people.
Now, the question then arises, you know, well, there are many people who believe the Holocaust didn't take place. 6 million Jews were not killed. How many Jews do you actually think were killed? You had the chance to see the secret archives that the government has kept secret.
Yeah, more than 6 million, Dr. Stan. I'm afraid that we undercounted them. The Jewish groups were being quite conservative. When I went through Belarusia, for example, I found out that that Belarusia had 110 cities and towns that were predominantly Jewish that completely disappeared after World War II. Their census dropped from 10 million people to 7 million people. This was the area where the original concentrations take place, the number of Russian Jews has been completely underestimated. When I showed Elie Wiesel some of my figures, he was astounded. He didn't even know that there were Jewish cities and towns in these areas. So, yeah, I think and then I had another guy who was a former American Army officer and an expert in Nazi documents go through and collect for me all the Nazi records pertaining to the killing. And the Nazi records show that midway through the war, that they estimated there were about 11.8 million Jews under the control of German troops, and that, a third of them had already been killed, and that they would pretty much plan on reaching the halfway point within a few months. And indeed, you know, the halfway point would have been roughly 6 million Jews. So they'd reached the 6 million Jews by the halfway point. Okay? So, those are the Nazi records. Now, again, with the Muslim Brotherhood, Hitler sat down with the Arab ambassador for the Muslim Brotherhood and told him that his secret goal for the war was to kill all the Jews in the world. And Hitler told him to lock this secret up in his heart. Now, Hitler's aide said, "My Führer, why would you tell this most sensitive state secret to this Arab?" And Hitler said, "Because they support our goals so enthusiastically." So Hitler had planned that as soon as he finished... By the way, the protocol of that meeting between the Muslim Brotherhood and Adolf Hitler still exists in the German archives. So there are some folks who claim that, you know, Hitler didn't know about the Holocaust, or Hitler didn't approve of it, and that's just nonsense. That's just an urban legend. Of course he did. The Muslim Brotherhood ambassador go visit Auschwitz to cheer on the troops.
What happened to the people, the murderers, who were responsible for this killing perhaps as many as 2 million Jews in Belarusia? What happened to them?
They were brought to America and settled in South River, New Jersey, and given jobs with the U.S. government as broadcasters on Radio Liberty back into the Soviet Union. Of course, the Russians were telling the people of Belarus who the broadcasters were. They were the Nazis' collaborators that controlled their lives. So the propaganda was totally useless. But, yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was reading deep in those underground vaults. I found the diary of a Jew whose name was Saul. And he fought against both the communists and the Nazis. He was a member of what's called the Bielski Brigade. And they've just made a movie about them called Defiance, of how these guys fought to save, you know, the last 1,200 Jews in Belarus from the massacres. But Saul, fought against the communists, escaped after the war, made his way to America to find freedom. And he sat down and wrote his memoirs of what had happened behind to him in this little corner of the world so that no one would ever forget. Saul gave a copy of his memoirs to the State Department, and they classified them and hid it.
Now we'll be back in a moment. Be right here, American Peter Dunbar.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Shalom, this is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me as we continue our series on exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. We'll be meeting at 3J's Christian Coffee House in Johnstown, Saturdays beginning at 1 p.m. We'll look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason?
I've used my spiritual gifts for years. What does Torah have to do with him? How do I know the difference between truth or error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. The exciting series will continue over the next few weeks, so please join us. Contact the Voice of Many Waters congregation at 1-800-205-6245 or 303-522-3562. A love offering will be collected.
Well, Dr. Stan here at American Phoenix Network, and history has been rewritten so that you will not know what really happened. But following the war, why the OSS and later the CIA in America, MI6 in Great Britain, a group within the Vatican, helped the Nazis escape to South America. How many Nazis do you think got to South America, John?
Yeah, good question. My counterpart in the West German government, I met him once, he said his estimate was about 150,000 of Germans and their Axis allies were involved in war crimes. 150,000. Of that number, only one-third, or 50,000, was ever apprehended and received even any kind of sentence, even the lightest one. So 100,000 were never touched. My rough guesstimate is of that 100,000, half went to South America, about another 30% to Canada, another 10% to Australia, 10% to the U.S.
They were well rewarded for their good work.
Well, again, remember, the British were telling us that these people weren't really Nazis. They only fought with the Germans because they hate the Russians more. They were really anti-communist freedom fighters. And, of course, the British guys who were telling us this all defected to Moscow in 63. They had been Russian spies all along.
The people the British were sending us
were never anti-communist freedom fighters. They were the dregs of the Nazi war criminals.
So the joke was on us. One of the most significant things you've said and told me was why the Jewish Nazi hunters never hunted down the Nazis in South America. Now they knew where Mengele was. They knew where Bormann was. They knew certainly where the other people, Eichmann, and they did get Eichmann and they did get Klaus Barbie. But would you tell the story about why the Jews were not allowed or did not pursue the Nazis? Because
Nelson Rockefeller's decision.
They were going to hunt them down, but what really happened?
Nelson Rockefeller told Israel that they couldn't go after the Nazis in Latin America. It's part of a trade. The vote for the partition of Palestine into Jewish and Arab states was coming up in 1947. And on Wednesday, there was a test vote. So the Jews had barely enough votes to win, but they were nowhere close to the two-thirds majority they would need on Saturday. If the voting blocks held up, there would never be an Israel. So the Israelis, the Zionists then, went to Nelson Rockefeller and blackmailed him. Now, Nelson had been head of American intelligence in Latin America during World War II, and Nelson was a very bad guy. His companies had invested heavily in Nazi Germany during the 20s and 30s. He had made a profit on both sides of the war. And the Israelis had his financial records. And this would have been treason, not good for Nelson's political career. So the Israelis dumped his Nazi files on Rockefeller's desk and said, you know, we want you to fix the votes in the UN. And in 3 days, Nelson Rockefeller called every nation in Latin America and got them to change their vote, all except Cuba. But they all changed their vote, either to vote in favor of the creating the State of Israel, or they abstained, which was just as necessary to reach the two-thirds majority. But Rockefeller told them a price. He said, all right, you know, I'm going to do this, but you have to agree that you will never pursue Nazi war criminals in Latin America. You can have vengeance or you can have a country, but you can't have both. It was a devil's bargain, but, you know, what could Ben-Gurion do? He had to take Rockefeller's terms. So they agreed. It wasn't until Nixon was president and actually started, you know, bringing Rockefeller. Rockefeller eventually became vice president. That you know, the deal was off when they were bringing the Nazis to America, and Nixon had turned against Israel. That's when they gave the green light to go down and get him. I actually caught one of the major Nazis in Latin America. ABC called me up one day and said, "We have this word to this guy, Eric Priebke. He's supposed to be a big Nazi here in Argentina, but nobody knows who he is." Well, I pulled out my old intelligence index, and yeah, Priebke had been, you know, the Nazi chief in Rome. He had been responsible for the Ardeatine Caves massacre, where over 100 innocent Italian citizens were just murdered in retaliation for the death of 10 German soldiers. So Priebke was one of the most wanted war criminals in Italian history. So after I identified him, ABC confronted him on camera. And he admitted, yeah, sure, that was me, but it was just like Vietnam. I was only following orders. Well, it caused such an uproar in Italy that Priebke was extradited to Italy, was tried for war crimes, convicted, and sentenced to life imprisonment. So, you know, he may have been the last major war criminal. I'm proud that I played a small role in bringing him to justice.
Well, actually, I saw a 2020, I think it was, when Sam Donaldson actually reported on the rat line, the Nazi war criminals in South America. He even went down and interviewed some of them.
Yeah, that was the show that I worked on. If you go back and see, Sam had me on as a guest for most of the show. And my role in identifying Priebke was the key focus of that that 2020 show. Was never revealed. It wasn't 2020. It was ABC called in.
Do you remember when that aired, what year it was?
Oh, gee, about more than a decade ago, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great program, and most Americans didn't see it. But, I mean, here Sam Donaldson, you know, followed the whole thing and pointed out that the American CIA, OSS, MI6, and a unit in the Vatican actually helped the Nazis escape through South America, through the rat line. And there's not one American in a thousand who's ever even heard of the rat line.
Oh, no, it was terrible. In fact, I wrote a book about that afterwards called Unholy Trinity. It's about the Vatican, the Nazis, and the Swiss banks.
Is that a book available?
Yes. Yeah, that's still in print, still available. And Unholy
Trinity.
We've been
trying to get your book, The Secret War Against the Jews, and we can't track that down. I mean, one company says, you know, that somebody else published it, and the other people say, yeah, but somebody, how can we get that book?
I know Secret War Against the Jews is still in trade paperback.
Yeah, but we want to purchase it. Who can we purchase it from? Who's publishing it?
I would think, check on Amazon.com. I think they're still selling them there.
Well, I know they're selling it, but we don't want to buy it through Amazon.
You want to buy it directly. I would call the publishers and say Random House.
Publisher?
Random House was the publisher on both books.
They say, we don't publish it anymore. I forgot who they say. Somebody else publishes it.
Oh, no. Okay. That's news to me.
Anyway,
I'll try and find
we're
out.
We're out of time. God bless. Thanks. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Okay.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. RGK Custom Flooring in Eaton salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comforts of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into the search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from RGK Custom Flooring in Eaton. Give Kurt a call at 970-539-6113. Reminding everyone that we live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343. Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning was John Loftus, his book, America's Not the Secret. This is Dr. Stan here, the book, America's Not the Secret. We carry it, and we recommend it strongly. We also recommend you get the various interviews I've done with John Loftus. You will learn more there about what really happened than anything else. We'll be putting together a four-tape set or four-CD set. We're going to go to four-CD sets for everything. But if you would like some of those interviews with John Loftus, you need to listen to them and listen to them several times. I listen, so I learn something every time I listen to John Loftus. The book, America's Nazi Secret, available now from Radio Liberty. Fortunately, we can get this book. The others, they play games with. A random house says, oh, no, Anthony, you go to this other publisher, and the other publisher says, yeah, but we don't distribute it. They're doing everything to keep this information secret. We're talking about the book, The Secret War Against the Jews. You need to get the information. Now, we have three books on how American corporations, of course, nobody will tell you they're CFR corporations, they're part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, funded Hitler not only before the war, built the weapons for him during the war that were used to kill our boys. The books, we carry all three of them. Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Professor Sutton, America's Nazi Secret by John Loftus, and Charles Higham, Trading with the Enemy. Those three books available from Radio Liberty, America's Nazi Secret, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Trading with the Enemy. Now you can get my interview with Professor Sutton. It's called The Best Enemies Money Can Buy. How we finance the Russians, how we finance the Nazis, how we finance the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War. After all, how can you have a war that kills 58,000 Americans if you don't have an enemy? And, of course, we've funded the Muslim Brotherhood since its inception, and they've just taken over, or they will take over in the Muslim world. John doesn't think they will, because the people don't want it. He's right, the people don't want it. But that doesn't matter. Actually, we recently manipulated Turkey into this radical Muslim camp, and they are certainly doing everything they can to bring the rest of the Muslim world into this radical Muslim state. And even if the people don't want it, remember, the people of Iran don't want the government there. We installed it in 1979. We installed the radical mullahs. Your tax dollars did it, because good people aren't involved. And all that's necessary for evil to triumph is that good people do nothing. And the price that good people pay for their apathy and indifference to public affairs is that they are ruled by evil men, and eventually they lose their freedom. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. because we are under attack today. And if you don't know that they're poisoning you and your family with fluoride in the drinking water, you need to get my talk, Hidden Agenda, and get the syllabus that goes with it. If you don't know they're poisoning your children with aspartame, get our material. We are under attack in America today by wicked and evil people who know what they're doing. You can help get the information and pray for America, but please pray for my dear liberty, our mission, and our protection.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Worship and warfare, holy places, and in his hands. 3. Praise and worship.